the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you.
That's right. A happy Feast of St. Januarius.
Yeah. And my granddaughter's third birthday.
Happy birthday,
Amelie.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that's precious age. I love that age. Well, let's start with prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who grant us to venerate the memory of the martyr Saint Januarius, give us, we pray, the joy of his company and blessed happiness for all eternity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Januarius, pray for us.
Is it true he had a brother, Februarius?
I'm not sure about that. Oh, we're going to find out about that when we hear Franciscan Media Saint of the Day, right, Gabby?
Not sure.
I knew something was going to happen. Right? Something was going to be said with the name. Looking forward to hearing more about our Saint of the Day. Like Alicia said, that is later on in today's show. In about 8 minutes, we have events in your listening area. We will give you details about, so stay tuned for that. Our first guest, Ted McGee, joins us in 18 minutes. He's a volunteer over at St. Agnes Church in Baton Rouge. He's also a volunteer with the Missionaries of Charity, the sisters over there, and the volunteering opportunities he will give us details about. And this is a great way to give back, to help the sisters, to help those who need the most help in the Baton Rouge area. So Ted will be joining Alicia and Damian in our Baton Rouge studio to give us details. Alan Migliorato joins us in 35 minutes. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. We're going to be discussing dealing with the difficult people, you guys. We deal with this every day. So Alan's going to give us tips on that. And in 48 minutes, Father Timothy Vavrick joins us. He's a priest in the Diocese of Austin. He's going to be talking about his book called As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ. So it's going to be a great interview, Damon, with Father Timothy. Looking forward to that as well. And the weather this week is going to be kind of warm, right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Kind of looked ahead.
What you got over the weekend, if you went to any of the football games, it was warm. And it's going to be a nice day, though. Highs are still going to be in the mid-90s, and that's what's making it hot, along with the fact that we have the humidity rising again. So when the two start rising, it gets a little warm and sticky outside. But really, it's going to be nice. And when I say nice, no rain in the forecast for the entire week. Very little chance. You might get a shower. It won't last long, and the chances of rain are like less than 10%. Elsewhere, it's going to remain that way through Saturday and possibly Sunday, though that Sunday is our best chance of rain. The forecast is showing about a 40% chance at this point in time. So if you want to get out there and get ready for the fall, which is this Thursday, you may want to get started in the flower beds while you have an opportunity. And temperatures in and around the area, 79 degrees already in the Crescent City. Elsewhere, it's 74 in Gulfport and home of Thibodeau. Slidell, cool in 73. And in Baton Rouge, it's 75. So, Gabby went to the LSU game. What did you do over the weekend?
I was not there. Did some stuff running around with my daughter, getting some things done, send her back to UL yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
So, yep.
Ship her off again.
Oh, good.
That's right. Yeah, we were celebrating my granddaughter's birthday, so everybody had a good time over the weekend, it sounds like.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, we've got some great events you may want to attend, which could in turn turn out to be a good time for you. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 8. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
It's morning, and in today's gospel, Jesus gives up a spiritual wake-up call. In the parable of the lamp, Jesus drew on a practice familiar to his audience. Every evening in Jewish homes, a ritual of lamp lighting would take place. The ancients had a dislike for the darkness. We get a sense of this in the introduction of John's gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To combat the darkness in a home, a lamp would be brought into a room and lit. Then pious Jews would recite a blessing, thanking God for the light. Clearly, no one would then cover the lamp or place it under the bed. No, they would put it on a stand that those who enter may see the light. Similarly, Jesus, the light of the world, gives us the spark of his teaching in order to illuminate our hearts so that we can dispel the darkness in the places we enter with our daily activities. Therefore, it is critical that we allow his light to penetrate deep into us. To experience Jesus' illumination and then do nothing about it would be senseless. That would be then like lighting a lamp and then hiding its light. The measure of our openness to be lit up by Christ is not the depth of our knowledge, but the degree it has illuminated our behavior and then radiates out to others. Jesus reminds us that there is nothing hidden that will not become manifest to everyone, nor is there anything secret that will not come to the light. All our deeds will one day be known and judged. And therefore, Jesus warned, "Take care, then. Now you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given. And for him who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." This life passes very quickly. Eternity lasts a very, very long time. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
And we want to shed some light on some events in and around the area. So take note if you would like to attend a special event this Friday, September 23rd. St. Padre Pio's relics are going to be on display at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Gretna. They will begin the veneration at 8:30 in the morning, and it will continue until 6 p.m. when there will be a Mass. In between, at 10 a.m., noon, 2, and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll be doing a rosary, and at 3 o'clock, there'll be the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So a lot of praying going on, but a great opportunity to see relics of St. Padre Pio, as I said, St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Gretna. You can call the church to find out more details if you need.
Wow. I love that our Catholic Church gives us opportunities to venerate these relics of such amazing saints. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful opportunity. So St. John the Evangelist in Gulfport is starting a new couples ministry. So everyone is invited, all engaged and married couples, married couples are invited to join them. They'll start meeting monthly on the last Thursday of each month. The first of these date nights, as they're calling them, is September 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. It will be in Fellowship Hall there at St. John the Evangelist. It's very casual. Dinner will be provided. Couples are encouraged to bring their own beverage. And this is an exciting perk. There's childcare. So there's childcare, and the kids will have a little pizza dinner. So it will be a fun Italian-themed evening for this first meeting. Now, of course, you'll need to RSVP. Again, that's St. John the Evangelist in Gulfport. So you need to call Karen at 228-224-827. And make sure you make that reservation. That's a great thing. Our parish, when we lived out of state, had things like that. And it was always a good time.
So, yes, yeah. Parents appreciate childcare during sometimes they can go, and they can have a little pizza party. I love that so much. It's so great.
There's no cost. That's right. Even better.
Right, right. You just need to let them know you're coming.
Yes, and another event that is absolutely free is a Catholic Business Leader, a New Orleans Symposium, which starts on September 29th and runs through October 1st. This is a joint collaboration with Xavier University of Louisiana and Loyola University of New Orleans, with resources from the Catholic Community Foundation of New Orleans. This is a gathering of Catholic business leaders, educators, business executives, civic leaders, and they're going to take the inspiration from the document, The Vocation of the Business Leader, reflected in the publication in 2014. Cardinal Peter Turkson will be there, and also Dr. Michael Naughton, Director of the Center of Catholic Studies, the University of St. Thomas. If you want to sign up, because they will have boxed lunches, like I said, resources, and the event is free, you can go to ccfnola.org. That's the Catholic Community Foundation of New Orleans website, ccfnola.org. So it's going to be a great event.
And Catholic Man Night is not that far away, folks. November 2nd is the date. So guys, check with the wives. Make sure you can get a pass. And you want to attend Catholic Man Night coming up November 2nd at White Oak Estates and Gardens. It is going to be a wonderful evening. It's only $125 per man. It's a big fundraiser for Catholic Community Radio. It's what we do each and every year. And a lot of guys like to show up. We have stogies. We have a great meal prepared by Chef John Foles. In fact, we call it a strolling buffet because there's stations set up with different types of foods, from gumbos to meats to you name it. And it's a great evening. It's from 6 to 9. If you want to join the Fraternity of Leaf, it is $250, and you get to come an hour early and indulge with not only fellowship, but a lot of tasting going on.
That's right. And our guest, Coach Paul Mineri, will be there.
We can't forget about Coach Paul Mineri, recently or soon to be inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. That's right. Well, don't go far. We have Mr. Ted McGee next on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 19th. Today we celebrate St. Januarius. Little is known for certain about Januarius, but one story persists. Popular for centuries, it is the belief that the saint's blood, carefully kept in a container in the Naples Cathedral, liquefies on three specific dates every year, including this date. Januarius served as the Bishop of Benevento, Italy, during the persecution of the Christians ordered by the Emperor Diocletian. In his capacity as bishop, he went to visit several Christian prisoners, was himself arrested, and was ultimately thrown to the wild beasts in the amphitheater. After the animals failed to attack him, he was beheaded around the year 305. The phenomenon of Januarius's blood liquefying is best seen as an alleged miracle rather than a confirmed one. But it certainly has been thoroughly investigated, and there is no question that what is claimed to happen has indeed happened time and time again, usually without fail. The phenomenon eludes natural explanation, but it is the reason Januarius is considered the patron of blood banks, the city of Naples, as well as the Neapolitan diaspora. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's 19 after the hour on a happy Monday morning, a beautiful one at that. Thank you for joining us on Wake Up. Damian Colano, along with Alicia Quibido and Gabby Smith, and our guest right now in studio is Mr. Ted McGee. Ted is a volunteer over at St. Agnes in Baton Rouge, and he's here to talk about the Missionaries of Charity and volunteering opportunities that they have there. And believe me, they are always in need of volunteers, and the sisters do great work in our community. Ted, welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. All right, man. Let's start right out of the box. First of all, share with us some of the things you do at the Missionaries of Charity and how you help out.
Okay. Thanks for having me. First off, we have six sisters here in Baton Rouge, and they run a soup kitchen and a homeless shelter for women and children. My role typically is working in the soup kitchen. They feed 5 days a week, every day but Thursday and Sunday. Thursday is their prayer day, but they do have volunteers that come assist, but the sisters are not quite as involved on that Thursday. But daily we serve a meal about 10 a.m. That's generally what I'm involved in, and that might be when you get there making the Kool-Aid, chopping peppers, onions, putting a stew together, whatever it is. I tease volunteers all the time when they come and they say, well, what do I do? And I say, whenever sister tells you to do something, you say, yes, ma'am, and do it. So the sisters are very busy. They do a marvelous job here. Mm-hmm. And so that's typically my role. But as I mentioned earlier today before the show, there are lots of other things to be done, too. Last week, for instance, we had lots of volunteers in the kitchen. When I got there, it's an unair-conditioned 70-year-old building. Mm-hmm. There was some mold growing in one of the bathrooms, and sister pointed it out to me, and I got a mop bucket and a little bleach water and sponge, and
scrubbed away.
You know, for anybody who's lived in Louisiana, you know, you get mildew on anything that's not air conditioned.
Well, that's right. No, the humidity is awful. And in a 70-year-old building, share with the listeners, it was a school building at one time, correct?
Yes. It's my understanding that the sisters got there, I think, in 1985 when Mother Teresa came to Baton Rouge at the invitation of Bishop Ott, and she selected that building. And so it was a school building. I think the building says on the front opened in 1947, so it was no longer a school building in the mid-80s. And Mother Teresa selected that, so the sisters are there. And fine old building, but it's an old building. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of times that there's maintenance that needs to be done, and there's always volunteers. You know, as sister tells me, sometimes I would go do a particular job, and I would just say, well, here, sister, I'll donate these goods or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't need you to donate the goods. I need your time. That's hard for me to come by sometimes. I need your time and abilities.
And that's the biggest misconception, is the fact that people think it. And again, their mission is taking care of the poorest of the poor. And so in our community, they do a great job of feeding the poor. But in order to do that, that building needs ongoing upkeep, as you said. So what are some of the areas, if someone's listening and they want to volunteer their time and their talents, how can they do that? And what areas are needed?
Well, there's plenty of areas. As we mentioned, any kind of building maintenance and upkeep, that means light plumbing duties, that means electrical work, meaning changing out light fixtures sometimes, or just changing out light bulbs. Mm-hmm. Light plumbing stuff, if we have any kind of leak. I'm always having a leak in a laundry tub where they wash clothes. Because keep in mind, the sisters serve the poorest of the poor. And their order teaching is that you cannot understand the plight of the poorest of the poor unless you live like the poorest of the poor. Mm. So the sisters run that building there. They have a room for about 30, 35 people in the shelter if it's full. All of the laundry they do by hand. Sheets, bed, all of that is done by hand. There is no washing machine. There's no dryer. They do all of that by hand. So there's plenty of work to be done.
Do they purposely not have air conditioning there?
That's correct. They do have air conditioning in parts of the building. For instance, in the dining room, which is an old converted classroom.
Right.
In the dining room, there's an air conditioner that's in there for when people come to eat. With the shelter where the ladies stay at night are converted classrooms. There's air conditioning. The sisters' convent section, there's no air conditioning. They live like the poorest of the poor. And, mm-hmm. and we volunteers sometimes say, sister, let us buy a washer or dryer. They don't do that. Funny story, at Thanksgiving, they serve a lot of turkeys. Mm-hmm. And I've been down there to carve turkeys. And they'll have 10, 15 turkeys to carve. And say, I need an electric knife. Well, we don't have one. Okay, sister, if I can't use an electric knife, I can't carve this many turkeys. So I'll bring my own. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. Yeah. But there's lots of volunteer opportunities to help serve in the kitchen. I mentioned earlier, they have a pantry where all the food is kept and doled out of there. And sometimes we have volunteers that just come to organize that, to help the sisters organize. Or some people say, I don't have time to volunteer to do those things, and we have people that will bring paper goods, like to-go containers, the little styrofoam hinge. They'll make a delivery of 3 or 4 cases of those to the sisters. And all you have to do is just show up at the door, ring the doorbell, and say, I have a donation to make. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all people can do at that time, is make a donation like that. It's very welcomed.
If they want to make a donation, is there a phone number? And we're going to repeat it now and toward the end of the segment. But what's that phone number? Give it out slowly.
Okay, so to reach the Missionaries of Charity, the sisters, it's area code 225-383-8367. Again, it's 225-383-8367. And I also have their address if someone would like to make a donation and want to write a check to the mm-hmm. sisters. They can send that to Missionaries of Charity. Their address is 737 East Boulevard. That's in Baton Rouge, and the zip is 70801.
Excellent.
And all of those, any donation or volunteerism is very welcome. And the sisters are an inspiration. And I can tell you from the 3 years of volunteering, there is a need.
Mm-hmm. And there you receive the gifts in exchange, don't you?
For sure.
I can't even begin to tell you. In fact, you asked me that, and it gives me chills. The inspiration that the sisters have been to us and the good that they have done for our soul is, my wife and I volunteer, and for my family, it's just I can't describe it. It's indescribable. They are truly an inspiration if you spend time around the sisters. And you get a different perspective. You know, I know many of the clients now who come on a regular basis. And I think we sometimes tend to, for lack of a better term, we kind of try to look away from those who are maybe homeless or whatever. We just try to avoid eye contact, make them invisible. They become visible, and you get to know them. And it speaks to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A relationship is established
as
time goes on. Now, real quick, items that are needed and or things that need to be done. You mentioned right before we went on, painting is definitely a 70-year-old building. There's always going to be some painting going on. So if we have, you don't have to be a professional painter to be to paint there.
No, you just got to come with a willing attitude to do a decent job and be willing to work and just give freely of your time a little while. And hey, look, you may not have 5 hours to give. If you've got an hour to give or 2 hours to give, or if you don't even have time to give, a little financial donation, whatever you have. You know, like Mother Teresa says, and if you read her writings, sometimes it takes just a little bit. You don't have to work a miracle. Mm-hmm. Just a little piece, and it puts together with the other pieces, and it all works out.
Yeah, she always said that I'm a little pencil in God's hand.
Mm, I love
you know,
that.
And so if you and I'm I don't know why I'm hooked on the painting thing, but if you're a painter, you can be a little brush.
If you want to do it, I can.
And just be a little brush on the walls of the Missionaries of Charity. Again, give that phone number out one more time, Ted, and the address.
Okay, the phone number is 225-383-8367, and the address for Missionaries of Charity is 737 East Boulevard, in Baton Rouge at 70801.
Well, my man, thank you so much for volunteering there, and I hope you inspire a lot of people. I think you have.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay. And Alicia, as you know, we help out there periodically.
That's right. With the shelter. Well, I'm in a couple of groups, and we serve dinner in the evenings for the shelter, and it has filled me so much more than I think it has the ladies that are there. It's such a I've done it for about 5 years now. It's been such an enriching experience, and I love the sisters. Quick funny story. One day I was at Costco and decided I'm going to get a couple gallons of milk, go down there, or the giant Costco size, ring the doorbell. Sister comes to the door and she said, "Who told you we needed milk?" And I said, "Nobody, sister. I was just at Costco." And she said, "We poured the last glass this morning and we thought, what are we going to do?"
You're kidding.
I can't tell you
That's
how
amazing.
Many times that happens. If a guy I volunteer with, we'll say, "We don't have enough to serve." And just somehow it lasts. And we don't ever say a word anymore. We just look at each other and just kind of laugh and go,
loaves and fishes.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Loaves and fishes. That's
right. The Holy Spirit is always moving.
Yeah. Amen. And I tell the sisters, you know, it's because you're here, not because we're
right.
here.
That's right.
Got nothing to do with us.
That's right.
Trust me.
That's
so, right. All right, folks. Well, that was Ted McGee, volunteer over at Missionaries of Charity in Baton Rouge. We're glad to have him and continue the good work, Ted. Coming up, Alan Migliorato, going to talk about our teens here on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado on drums and Gabby Smith. We're so happy you're with us on this Monday morning, September 19th. We are joined this morning by our friend Alan Migliorato. He is the co-author of Failing Forward: Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter, and founder of Adventure Catholic. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
It's great to visit with you this morning. This is the highlight of my Monday morning, just saying. Monday mornings with Migliorato.
Oh, that's very nice.
Okay, so this
you're
is...
You're okay, too.
Okay, thanks. So today we're talking about dealing with difficult people. I know none of our listeners deal with anyone difficult in their life, but, I think everybody has experienced at some point, even family members, even dear friends, coworkers, who can just be difficult to be around. And I'm hoping today you can shed some light on that.
Yes, I hope so, because there's a lot of difficult people.
Right.
Now, so I think
Alan, I want to say real quick, don't talk too fast, because Alicia said I really need to listen this morning to what you had to say.
Okay. We'll go over it twice.
Just wanted to make sure.
Case in point, difficult people. Let's go, Alan.
I think what happens a lot of times when we're so passionate, only time that we come to disagreement with somebody is when we're both passionate about something, right? And the hardest thing to do is to listen to the other person's perspective. Like, okay, explain to me why you're upset, right? And a lot of times we assume that we know why the other person is upset, but often it has nothing to do with the argument at hand. So they're upset about, I have a sign company, right? I own a sign company. And so when somebody will come in and they're upset, well, this isn't what I wanted. And I say, oh, well, then my very first reaction will say, did I miss something? Mm-hmm. You know, because we always have people sign off on what they want, you know, and do printouts and things like that. And I'll always say, did I miss something? Because I thought that we went over this ahead of time. So show me where I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is you kind of have to humble yourself, right?
Right.
When you humble yourself and you say, maybe I did screw up. So let me see your perspective. Let me explain to me where I went wrong. And if, you know, when the person kind of talks through it, a lot of times they'll talk themselves down because you're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. So you have to remain calm and be humble. And that's the hardest thing to do, especially when you know that you're right. You know, like I know for a fact that like I made these people sign off on this or whatever it was, you know, even dealing with teenagers, like, okay, well, or parents, hey, you told me that, you know, the bus was leaving at 8 o'clock and it left at 7:30, and I'm like, did you receive the paperwork that I sent? Let me take a look at it. Maybe I put the wrong, and I know darn well that I put 7:30 on there. Like, we're leaving at 7:30. If you're not on the bus at 7:30, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you have to just say, well, you know what, maybe I did screw up.
Yes.
And I don't remember screwing up, but let's take a look.
Right.
You know? And sometimes that'll de-escalate itself.
But sometimes it doesn't. So how do we, and how do we teach our teens to, I think, really, Alan, there's sometimes that we are, in dealing with difficult people, can put ourselves in the situation of falling into sinful ways, right? So sometimes there are people in our lives that we do need to cut some ties, pray for them, and move forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have to pull the weeds out of the garden all the time. But you also have to be willing to kind of say, you know what, let's take a day. We're both a little upset right now, and, you know, yes, both getting a little passionate about this. Let's take a day and think about this, and let's reconvene, you know, in a day or so, mm-hmm, and see if we can come up with something. Or I'll say, what do you suggest? That's my next move, is what do you suggest we do to fix this? Because obviously there was some kind of miscommunication. How would you like to see this resolved?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's not a win-win that they'll come up with. It's just a win-lose. And I'm not gonna do that, you know. And so
There
are times where you say, when somebody presents like a win-lose, like they're gonna win, you're gonna lose 100%, you almost have to say, all right, let's take a day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about some other options, because that's not gonna work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get back together.
Right.
And then there's progression to this. Ultimately, yes, you don't want to jump to just cutting people out of your life when they're difficult, because sometimes they're just having a bad day. You know, I remember dealing with a parent a few weeks ago who somebody passed away in her family, and she was all upset about, I still have no idea what she was upset about. She was just angry with me, with her kid, and it was like, well, you told me, you know, youth group was going to start at this time, and I'm like, oh, did I? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I'm sorry. And she was just going on and on and on. You told me to pick them up at 8 o'clock, and it's 8:15, and it's like, so I pulled her aside right there. I go, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? And she just started bawling and, like, told me about this family member who passed away, and it was just because you're willing to listen.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But it's easy to cut people out with really not gaining understanding. Once you seek understanding, and once you calm down, and once you take that time, if they're still just being difficult, they may need more time to process. And so the best thing for you to do, and the most merciful thing you can do, is kind of cut them out for a little bit, you know, and say, look, when you're ready to get back together, let me know when you want to grab a coffee someday. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling any better a week from now? And ultimately, yes, you have to cut some people off.
Yes. So we can't control what other people say and do, right? But we can control our own reactions. So give us some tips on reacting to that person that just goes right for the jugular. There's no pleasantries, and you're trying to be the one who is calmly, as you mentioned, pointing out that you did say the right thing, that you did give them the correct information. How do we diffuse that on our end when someone is coming at us like that?
Well, you can't always, not legally at least, right? You can't always kind of talk somebody off the edge, you know, when the hammer's back and they're ready to pull the trigger. Like, sometimes there's just nothing you can do.
Yes.
And there are times, you know, and you can't say, well, do this in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where, you know, you just have to be like, whoa, time out. Like, absolutely not. We're not going to talk to each other like that. I'm not talking to you today. We'll talk another day. I'm not dealing with you right now.
Right.
You know, and I've done that with parents before, with teenagers before. I mean, and it happens, and it's like, sounds rude, but it really is the response that's needed in that situation, because sometimes they're just 100 miles an hour. They want to hit you with everything they have, and it's like, whoa, I deserve some respect, and absolutely not. And when sometimes, you know, when you react that way, if you match that energy and you guys get into a bickering match, it doesn't look good for anyone.
Right.
Right. No one's going to win with that. So don't put yourself in a lose-lose situation.
That's right. That's right. Always great advice, Alan, and that's advice we can pass on to our children as well. When they're dealing with someone difficult, how to kind of try and diffuse the situation, or be able to turn and just walk away and revisit the subject, right?
Well, all of the advice that I give, where it starts with remain calm, is very good, you know, theoretically. It's the hardest thing in the world.
It is hard, you're right.
But that's why we have to practice it, you know. I mean, virtue is something that we need to practice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Patience is a virtue, and we need to practice patience daily.
Yes, yes. And it's also a good idea to, before you have a conversation you know that's difficult, offer up that quick, come Holy Spirit, right? Let these, help me with these words, make sure that I say what I should be saying. And then even pray for the person that is having the challenging time.
Well, and I've done that with parents before. I say, well, time out. Can we pray? Can we pray real quick just to make sure that God's involved in this? And that really seems to be the best, the best solution to a lot of things, because it's like, all right, let's take five here, and let's just pray together for just a minute, because obviously I don't hate you, you don't hate me, but we're angry, or you're angry.
Yes.
So let's take a minute and pray. Yes, that's wonderful advice.
Let's stop before I get angry too, right? Alan, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, where they can find your books, and all bunch of information about you and the wonderful ministry you have.
AdventureCatholic.com online. You can, on the line, as my mom would say, you can find us there. Or on Facebook, you can hit us up at Adventure Catholic.
Adventure Catholic. Alan Migliorato, always a great time talking to you. Look forward to visiting with you next Monday.
All right, don't be difficult now.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. Have a great week.
God bless you, Alan. Wow, always love a good conversation with Alan. You can find his books. He has videos and all kinds of resources on his website at AdventureCatholic.com. And you can also go to his Facebook page and check him out. So stick around, because Father Timothy Vervick, talks about his book, As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
It is 7:48 on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quipido and Damian Collado. Hey, I did want to mention that Ted McGee, volunteer over at St. Agnes for the Missionaries of Charity, he did throw a phone number in there if you wanted to volunteer in the Baton Rouge area. It is in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, so you can take a look at that. That's Wake Up Monday. Our next guest is Father Timothy Vervick. He's a priest in the Diocese of Austin, Texas. And today he joins us to talk about his book, As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ. Hey, Father Timothy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's great for you to be with us, because this is such a timely topic. I think we can all kind of get a reminder and a refresher on a book like this. So dive deeper into it and tell our listeners what they can find in your book.
An effort to present again the great mystery of our salvation in Christ, what it is that God intends for us, and how we're called to respond to Christ. Too often, Christ's saving work has been reduced to Jesus died to forgive our sins and save us from hell, which is true and wondrous, but it's infinitely exceeded by Christ's actual purpose, which was, as he declared, that when he was lifted up, he would draw everyone to himself. And so he calls us to union with himself and within the church as members of his body and bride to share his life, that he abides in us and we in him. And so we share the divine life, and we're sharing his mission of salvation and help accomplish that great work that God has intended from all eternity. So it's a much broader vision than simply let's avoid sin.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Father Timothy, we hear the word salvation being thrown around not just with Catholics, but with other religions as well. And there seems to be kind of a different definition of the word salvation depending on what denomination you're speaking to. But as far as Catholics go, when we said rediscovering our salvation in Christ, what exactly do you mean from a Catholic perspective?
Well, I can't speak to other religions. Certainly among Christians, there are, aside the Catholics and the Orthodox, who hold that salvation essentially is the forgiveness of sin, and then you get to be in heaven, whatever that might be. They have different ideas about that sort of thing. But for the Catholics, like for the Orthodox, the word salvation means wholeness. It means health. And in this case, our salvation, not something that's waiting for us when we, please God, enter into heaven. The salvation is something that begins now, and comes to fulfillment later, and it is the actual divinization of our person, that we are, we come to share God's divine life. The Trinity comes to dwell inside of us, and we dwell in the Trinity, and that's a view of salvation that lots of, well, unfortunately, many Catholics have lost sight of, but it's a view that non-Catholics, other than the Orthodox, they might even deny it. They certainly don't. They certainly don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm. Father Timothy, the first part of your title is, "As I have loved you," and it just reminds me that Christ is always there for us. He has always loved us and will always be there for us. What message do you have in this book for those family members who have maybe fallen away, children from the church, or maybe they're struggling with the faith a little bit, to know that Christ is always there and we can find our salvation in Christ?
Yes, well, this is at the heart of the new covenant that Jesus has made, is that in the old covenant, people were called to love God with their whole strength and love their neighbor as they love themselves. They were to try to imitate the love that God had shown us. But now, because Christ has come to dwell in us, we have a new covenant, a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. And that signals that we are sharing in Jesus' love for, we're sharing in Jesus' love for God our Father. And that love is calling everyone to salvation. And so when we're struggling, or when family members, we look out at the world and it's struggling, we're called to respond with love, that love, that same love that Jesus has. He, you know, I'm lifted up to draw everyone to myself. I'd stand at the door knocking, so that a person may open and come to be with me. And now we're caught up in that same love, and by our prayer and by our good works toward others and by our the words that we might speak to them, we are invited to be a means by which that love reaches to the heart of another person and draws them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What inspired you to write a book like this? I think this is something we could all use at one point in time, if not every day.
Well, I've been a priest for 37 years, and this book comes from my pastoral care and from preaching the gospel. You know, I find that especially when people are suffering and they're dealing with spiritual or troubles in their life or the life of their family, they often have a very difficult time because they don't know what to make of the sufferings they have, and they have forgotten or were never taught that, you know, we're sharing in Jesus's life, which means he shares our sufferings and we share in his sufferings. And so I think it's an important message because people have forgotten that whether in joy or in sorrow, we are the Lord's and he is ours.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're 100% right. Father Timothy Favorick, where can we pick up a copy of your book, As I Have Loved You, Rediscovering Our Salvation in Christ?
You can get it from Emmaus Road Publishing. Of course, it's available at Amazon and maybe some other bookstores as well.
Oh, wonderful. Father Timothy, before we let you go, may we ask you for a priestly blessing as we close out today's show?
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us that we may live more deeply our union with Jesus, that we may become a vessel and a means of his love to others. You would purify us, draw us away from our selfishness to live more deeply this new life that is ours, that we may become a witness to Christ and his love, that you may bring all things to completion in accordance with your holy will, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Timothy, for joining us today.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Have a great day. My goodness. Okay, so if you have an event in our listening area, I wanted to throw this out. You can submit your free event to us at ccradio.live under events and news. It's absolutely free. I've been getting a lot of retreats as far as when Advent season starts. I know that's weeks and weeks away, but it's just around the corner if you really do think about it. So check out our website as well for all of those events that you can find. Our fall drive time is coming up on Tuesday, October 11th through Thursday, October 13th. So we are less than 1 month away from our fall drive time. As we get closer, we will start announcing guests and what you'll find as far as giveaways, wonderful opportunities to join the coffee club, and so much more. So save those dates, Tuesday, October 11th, which is actually, Damian, that's your birthday. So that's going to be a fun day.
And your birthday, my birthday, and Alicia, we're all in October.
That's right. So, October 11th through the 13th. But thank you so much for joining us today. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. I will be live from the Louisiana Priest Convention in New Orleans. Father Chris Stecker will be joining me to give you details on what he will be doing tomorrow at the convention. Richard Meek joins us from the Catholic Commentator, Sister Marjorie Aber with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and Father Paul Gross with the Diocese of Baton Rouge joins us to talk about the Eucharist. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.